We'll call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting to order for Wednesday, September 22nd. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation, Jurgens, Haxby, Schuler, Teeman, Dorn, Byers, and Lytle. Up first, the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held September 8th, 2021. Approve all claims through September 22nd, 2021 in the amount of $7,162,359.79, except claim number 2109089 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $575 and claim number 2109197 to RL Team and Construction in the amount of $7,063.74 to be voted on separately below. That number will differ from the numbers we talked about on Monday because the Chalupka law firm did not have their claim in for Deb Shelton on time. That claim will be for $336,782.31. That's included in these claims, or in this claim number in the $7 million. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve receiving treasurer's list of delinquent taxes on parcels of real estate in the county, which remain unsold for want of bidders, and directing the county treasurer to issue county tax sales certificates. Approve canceling check number 2109037 to the University of Nebraska in the amount of $170 due to training being canceled because of increased COVID cases. Approve utility permit number 1209 to Windstream of Nebraska LLC, starting at pedestal 492.5NA, east side of 108th Road, bore 2-inch wide, 60-inch deep line under the road for approximately 45 feet, to the west side of 108th Road, then start to plow a 3-inch wide trench by 48 inches deep in the west side grader ditch of 108th Street to the southwest intersection corner of 108th and Sycamore Road. Turn west on Sycamore Road and complete plowing in the south grader ditch to pedestal 499AB, total of 750 lineal feet of cable installed, located in the northwest quarter, section 18 of Liberty Township, Township 1 North, Range 8 East, and northwest corner of northeast section of 13 in the Barnston Township, Township 1 North, Range 7 East. Approve utility permit number 1210 to Windstream of Nebraska LLC. They'll be installing a new pedestal, 600OF, to tie into existing line, and then will bore 2-inch diameter, 72-inch below flow line under culvert in the east side of Greater Ditch for 200 feet on 120th Road between Spruce and Sycamore Road. Then plow a 3-inch wide by 48-inch deep line, the remainder of the line to the existing pedestal 592OF, tying in cable, and install a new pedestal located in the northwest section 8 of Liberty Township, Township 1 North, Range 8 East. Approve utility permit number 1211 to Windstream of Nebraska LLC. They will be plowing a 3-inch wide by 48-inch deep trench from the pedestal W324AE for 125 feet and then a bore of 2-inch diameter by 72-inch deep line, following the flow line on the south side of the greater ditch for 200 feet to tie in new cable to the existing cable at new pedestal W300AE to relocate temporary cable lines from Gage County Culvert Replacement Project on Lilac Road, 300 feet east of southwest 142nd Road, located in the section north 18 Lincoln Township, Township 3 North, Range 5 East. Approve utility permit number 1212 to Windstream of Nebraska LLC. They'll be boring a 2-inch diameter by 72-inch deep below the flow line for 150 feet to replace damaged line around culvert. Windstream will place two new pedestals on each side of the culvert, cut and splice new line into the existing line for cable service to the residents at 23309 South 120th Road, located in the southeast section 19, Philly Township, Township 4 North, Range 8 East. Approve utility permit 1213 to Windstream of Nebraska LLC. They'll be installing new service lines starting 225 feet north of Birch Road at pedestal 70BA, west side of 148th Road. They'll be plowing 3-inch wide trench by 48-inch deep in the west side grader ditch for 250 feet. Stop and start to bore a 2-inch diameter by 60-inch deep line under 148th Street for approximately 100 feet to the east side of 148th Road, and then install a new pedestal on the south side of the driveway for the new residence at 6856 South 148th Road. From the new pedestal, all other service work will take place on private property. It's located in the southeast section of 28, southwest section of 27, Township 6 North, Range 8 East, Adams Township. Approve utility permit number 1214 to Northern Natural Gas. Installation of new rest block to existing above-ground gas facilities. There's no excavation plan, just wanted to use roadway as staging area temporary workspace. This is located in the northeast quarter section of Section 2, Township 3 North, Range 6 East, Riverside Township. Our new street superintendent needs to realize he is not paid by the number of permits placed on the agenda. Any questions on anything on the agenda or on the consent agenda?
I'm just impressed you're still breathing. Rex used to do it all in one breath usually.
Oh,
I'd like to see that happen.
I have to start exercising.
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Lytle. Any discussion? If not, please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Regular agenda, approve or disapprove claim number 21090089 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $575. And claim number 21090197 to RL Team and Construction in the amount of $7,063.74. This brings the total amount of claims approved through September 22nd, 2021 to $7,169,998.53. These two companies are companies I own or am involved with.
So move.
Motion to approve. Second.
Motion by Dorn, second by Juergens. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor with Thiemann abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items for the Board of Supervisors. Good morning, Galen. Seeing none, we'll move on to committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights.
Mr. Jones, sir.
Good morning, everyone.
The lights will be here before you know it.
Pardon?
The winter lights will be here before you
know it. Yes, they will. Everything comes up quick. The retaining wall, we talked about that. That project is starting today. The city came and blocked off the right lane of northbound traffic this morning, so he's going to start removing that wall. And while the lane is blocked, the sprinkler system will be getting put in at the same time also, so that'll work out good. They estimated this to be about a week's worth of work. The block came in last week. I did put in a claim for the material only at this time. I did get a proposal from Masonry Construction for discussion only at this time. It would be for the infill of if we were to tear off that shed, little lean-to shed on the northeast side to fill that in with limestone. There would be other work involved. It would be demolition of the existing building, which shouldn't be too much, but it would also be just putting in a 2x4 wall and it is below grade a little bit also, so we would have to probably put some just concrete block down so far, and then that some of the block, the limestone block, would rest on that concrete floor. There is some footing there, but there's this stairwell that goes down there that would have to be filled in. So, again, this is for discussion only. I'll see exactly what all we're dealing with and see if we can move forward with that. The ramp bidding, I really wanted to get that done this summer. It just didn't happen quick enough. I would still like to get it done, but I'm really wondering now if I waited too late to actually get several bids on it to move forward with it this fall yet. The ramp does work. We put a new boiler in it. The trouble we're having with it is the hot water just doesn't travel through those PEX pipes like it used to. I just noticed last year we had some issues with certain areas freezing up, but I guess with cold weather coming in this morning and everything, I'm beginning to wonder if we do have enough time. I don't want it to be a rush deal. So, and it does involve a main entry into the courthouse. It's going to be kind of an inconvenience when they do it also.
Are you going to do something with the door at the same time?
We wouldn't have to, but I'm checking on that also.
I would wonder if you're getting nervous about it, if you know you're going to be replacing that too, if we've got some slick spots, maybe we rely a little bit on some salt or something for help this year and then right. Look at that for next year unless the board feels differently.
I guess that would have just been my question. What's the conditions going to be like? Are we going to have ice spots out there that you're going to have to deal with consistently?
Like last year, we were lucky enough. We did get several snows, but not a lot. So I just dealt with it as it came. And if it's a light snow, it's no problem. It can keep up with it. It was when it was snow driven with the north wind, it just seems like it couldn't keep up like it used to.
So. Concrete can be done any time of the year. So I would say let's just get the specs and let's do it. All it takes is something to happen and have one accident, and you've correct. It's going to cost us a lot more than that little bit of work. So I think we should just get it done as quick as we can.
I agree. Move forward, Davey.
Okay. Work on getting some bids for that. The large pin oak tree south of the veterans office, I did get several bids on that. Andrew Ideas came in at $1,000 for tree removal and stump removal. That's a large tree that is good shade for the parking area, but when we tore that house down that used to be in that parking area, the tree took a hit and it's half dead now.
Can we get the veterans to pay for that?
I can check and see. I did talk to Judge Schreiner, and I know he had talked to Sherry in county court, and I believe he talked to Don. There is monies available. Court administrators say that if we do improvement to the district and county court with their sound system, there is monies available that they would help us out with that. So had a surprise at the extension office yesterday. They called me. Their toilet in the men's room, the tank pretty much detached from the bowl. Those two, they were metal bolts. I don't know exactly what happened, but they were rotten. The bolts were completely eaten through, and so the water ran through all night long. So I took a shot back out, and I'm going to remove some drywall out there.
My gosh.
But one thing I'd like to bring up is they do have that old tile floor. And unfortunately, there's a floor drain right next to that toilet, but that water, because that tile has heaved up and everything, it went to the west instead of the east. So we'll check into that. But they are due for some upgrading in their bathrooms out there.
Hey, Dave, sorry to interrupt you, but as far as the court stuff goes, did Schreiner have any specifics for you?
He does not at this time yet. They just told him there were monies available, and he said he would like to come down. When he knows more, he'd like to come down and talk.
Okay, good. That'd be nice to have specifics.
Sure,
as opposed
yeah.
to
yeah.
Yes.
Too often we hear there's monies available, and then you do something.
I think they're going to try to do a number of, what he told me yesterday, a number of courts at one time. So they're planning the big project and hit them all at about the same time.
Is that something that'll still be done potentially in conjunction with the boardroom, or will those be separate companies probably?
That could be a separate project, unless they sub it out to whoever bids on it. But I do know the trouble they've had with county court is kind of a hodgepodge. Different counties did things a different way, and then when they asked for support from the state, nobody could help them out. And so I know Judge Schreiner made a comment. He said it's just like DMV, they have the exact same equipment in every station, and so the courts should have something to where the state could support it, and they know what they're dealing with. So, I talked to our new highway superintendent about phones. Our Wi-Fi and telephones aren't real compatible down at the highway department, and the reason being I put in a trouble ticket and they explained it to me. They are still using a DSL line, and they do have fiber just down the road that they can bring into the building at the monthly agreement would probably go up a little bit, but not much, so I'm going to get a price on that and see. But they said that the Wi-Fi and the phones fight against each other as far as giving enough data for both of them to run. So what they actually did, they did turn off the Wi-Fi so the phones would work better. So now with his laptop computer, so checking on that.
Do you have a hard line to plug in still? You can still use it at least for now.
Yeah, yeah. But it's still the same old, just the phone line connection that we had down there. So this fiber, I didn't know that it ran right down the street to the south of them, so they can just bring it up from there. We talked about Purple Wave. I got an email yesterday. They said since they had the agreement with these people, they had to officially give the notice, and so they gave them till October 1st, 2021 to remove those towers. So, and we had a fire sprinkler system, fire alarm system testing. All came back good on that. Those are yearly required tests. And that's what I had.
Any questions for Dave? Thank you very much.
Any expenses you have at the highway department, take it out of the new administrator's salary.
But not really. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Equalization. All should be equal. Finance and insurance.
Large ticket items. City Beatrice, Extension Office, Sheriff's Garbage Service, Quarterly EMS Services, $45,402.96. Duval Ford, three sheriff vehicles, $115,237. Gage County, fund transfer to Judgment Fund, $2 million. Wolfcom Enterprises, sheriff cameras, accessories, $17,803.08. Beatrice Concrete Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $32,586.60. Contact Engineer Solutions, Project Pipe, $34,979.99. Manili Wagner Associates, Engineer Consulting Services, $14,376.80. Midwest Service and Sales, Culverts and Parts, $38,731.16. Sat Brothers Petroleum Fuel,
$19,493.73. And the...
I wasn't done yet.
Oh, sorry.
I forgot the last page.
That one's even heavy to lift.
The... Judgment Fund miscellaneous debt, the total paid out was $4,373,796.21.
And that does include the $2 million that we did get from the state, so this will be part of that payment. We did receive that money.
That includes that, you said, Don?
That's not listed on here.
Well, it is.
Oh, that's how you're broken out. Okay.
Yeah, we give them a toll, and then they send us the claims, how each one gets.
Is there any sales tax on this?
So it's $4 million that was paid for that judgment?
Less than $800,000.
Less than $800,000 in sales tax. So there's another $2.7, $2.8 million from state and sales tax going along with county tax.
Remaining balance on that?
I don't know. I have to look. I'll get that for you in a minute.
Rough number, I'm going to say around $11 million.
Yeah,
I was figuring 12, so that's, yeah.
And it's probably between 11 and 12. It may be closer to 12.
I hope so.
Human resources, employee relations. Did you guys have anything Monday on that? Law enforcement, emergency management, planning and zoning. Emergency manager and planning and zoning will not be here today.
That means I am, right?
Well, that's all we have left.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sheriff.
I had a couple of things to touch base with. Before I do, I want to have Deputy Chavez step up here and talk about a program that we'd like to get implemented over there that's pretty much minimal on the expense. Dane knows a little bit about it as well. So,
good morning. Good morning. I'm John Chavez, Deputy with Gage County Sheriff's Office.
Good morning.
I have readers now, so it's not getting used to them. I've been to some trainings around Nebraska recently, and I've noticed when I walked into the law enforcement facilities, there'll be two parking stalls or four, depending on the size of the facility, and it'll say safe exchange zone. I spoke to some of the officers at those facilities, and what they are is a safe environment for individuals to come, meet, to exchange, you know, the selling or buying of items. There was, as you I researched it, there were some issues where, as you know, a lot of social media, there's sites where you can go on and bid on an item. Where do you go pick it up at? Usually that individual's house. People were bidding on those items, and just for the purpose of being able to go to that house, because they either liked the way the individual looked selling the item, to scope out the residence, to burglarize it. So they came up with a safe exchange zone where they can come and meet, make that exchange, and we can deter some kind of, you know, any fraudulent transactions, robberies. In addition to that, they use it also for child custody exchanges. We have had calls for service where there are issues. This kind of gives it a neutral location, so they can make that exchange. There is a location that I have, I'd like to have it at the sheriff's office. It is in the east parking lot on the south west corner. It's where that bike rack sits. Hardly anybody parks there. It is 24/7 surveillance. It is, I think that tree hangs over a little bit that maybe could be trimmed up a little bit, just a better view, but it is very viewable from our camera system. So, if you want pricing, I did look into that also.
Is it just some signage, or?
Yes, it's $25 a sign. I went to Extreme Motorsports, had them come up with a design. I don't know if you want me to bring this to you or just kind of hold it up here.
Well, you can probably hold it up just so.
It's just a sign. It's a safe exchange zone, 24-hour surveillance. There is some additional. If there's an emergency, call 911.
You didn't turn it over this way.
I'm sorry, sir.
Okay. Can you see it anyway, Denny?
Oh, his readers aren't on.
We need to be included.
Well, I've actually gone and picked stuff up for female friends of mine before because they're nervous about going to get something.
Exactly.
And that is something, is there's more e-commerce and everything else.
Yes. That is on
I think
there,
it's
on
a
the
good idea.
Also. As you said, Mr. Dorn, scammers, it's becoming a thing. We all know that. Extreme Motorsports, a sign, be about this size, that size, $25 a sign. Now, there would be two parking stalls, two posts with a sign on one side for sure. But if you're coming from the west heading east, you will not see, if somebody doesn't know about it, won't be able to see to turn in there because it'll be the other side of the sign. So it would be four signs total, one on each side of each pool.
And, Sheriff, you're fine with those parking stalls being gone?
That'd be fine.
Questions?
Anyone have a problem with it? Seems like a really good idea, John.
Yeah, great idea. Will you always have somebody there surveilling? And that's the only question. I don't want people to, you know, think they're
just
pulling.
And I have that typed up here also. It'd be something that we would put on our website or a news release also.
Okay.
I will just, if you want me to, I can just read
that kind
of real quick.
I just want to
make sure. It states in there that we will not be any part of an exchange or take any side of, you know, it is completely there for their safety. If there is an issue, we would come if needed. But it's not something that's, I'll be there at 2 o'clock, can you watch and make sure everything's okay type thing. We'll try our best to assist anybody, but if possible, but we won't always be there.
But if somebody sets it up or wants to set it up and arrange it to where somebody would be there, is that kind of going to be the idea?
I mean, of course, we would always be there to assist somebody if they need to be. Yeah. We'd make arrangements.
So they can, they call up and, I mean, I assume this phone call is going to happen where somebody calls up and says, hey, I'm wanting to make this an exchange, but I want to make sure you guys are around when it's at,
yes,
when it happens.
We try our best to be there and make sure we can have somebody there. But I'd rather make an arrangement to be there to help them than get a call and have to go 30, 40 miles to try to get somebody to have some help.
And have a mess to clean up when
yes.
you get there.
Yeah,
yeah, I agree.
That sounds like a really good idea. I never thought of that before. That's a really good idea.
Yeah. Can.
Well, you the didn't. Sheriff does. You still don't.
I mean, you didn't think of it.
You come up with the ideas, the sheriff makes the big bucks.
He can online dating services use it too? I'm asking for
there,
Eric.
There are some details in there. There is, just to point out, there is no exchange of any firearms on the property. That can't be done there.
No pharmaceuticals either?
No. And drugs, narcotics, none of that.
So they don't offer that up as a spot to do
that. Come on in.
Yeah, maybe you should offer that up. Maybe somebody would do that.
Right. If there's an RV that parks in
there,
there will be
somebody that will do it.
There would be.
I'll guarantee.
There'll be a food truck or something there making exchanges of food.
Yes.
So they don't really need to call and notify anybody.
No.
They can just free
it's
to
just
meet there.
Provided a safe zone for them. To make them feel more comfortable.
And this isn't the sheriff's new parking place or anything by the door.
No.
Okay.
No, it will be signed.
No, that sounds good, John.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
All right, a couple more things. As you probably know, the murder trial was postponed till December 6th, so we're off the working part of that right now. We'll gear back up again when it gets closer to that date. So, and I think Brian's putting word out, if he hasn't already to everybody, that we're going to stay as status quo. Been working on selling one of the Humvees. I was approached by the American Legion in DeWitt. They would like to have it and purchase it. I talked to Roger about it. The only way I can see where they do it if we don't bid a purple wave or whatever is it was to do an MOU where they would be able to, that's theirs, they maintain it and they store it and use it, but if something come up where we'd feel the need, we had to have another one, they'd be available for us to do that, and they had no problem with it. And so I shot my price around $3,500. That's about what they're going for now, I've been told. And so I just told him, I told Legion Commander, ran by the board, make sure that they didn't have any heartburn with it or anything before we went any further on doing anything with it. So
we don't have to surplus that?
Not through normal you. I don't know how that.
We're getting rid of it.
We're getting rid of it. You'd have to do it somewhere, yeah.
Yeah. We can do that same meeting, though, once we get the MOU done. We didn't have a price or anything at that time.
Is there going to be any benefit to you in them having it? The reason I ask is I think we paid more than that, and I think we could get more than that. It's just if you want to transfer it to them, for
we
if
paid,
there's some benefit to you.
We paid less than that.
Oh, I thought there's more.
No, that's why we had two. We got a good deal on it. No, we paid. There's a little profit for us on it.
Personally, I think it's okay. It does give you the access if you need it. Haven't needed it up to this point, so I can't imagine we'll need it. But
I wouldn't think we'd need it either. But I just wonder with our dispersal of property, we just made someone put or we're making someone put in bids for old bridge rails.
Well, this is similar to what it was for the canine on the vehicle. I mean, it's the same way. It's there to use the canine if we needed it, so.
Who is it that's interested? DeWitt?
DeWitt Legion.
DeWitt Legion.
Yeah.
But you're sure this is okay, Roger? I mean, I'm just, the reason I'm asking is to make sure it's on the up and up. And
well, again, we're working, and I realize it's not another sheriff's office, which makes that unique, but it's somebody that we will have that we can work with. If you did that on put it out for bids, we'd probably lose it. Well, we couldn't contract for that. So that added feature about it be available for Gage County, that will help.
If there's no objection, then I suppose, Roger, you'll get some type of MOU drawn up, or the sheriff will?
Yep. We'll put it together. And we just didn't have the numbers and
everything. I got the legals.
So we'll surplus and have an MOU at some point in the future, and then we can talk additionally if we want to approve it or disapprove it or do it different, but that'll get us in place there where we'll have more specific discussion.
Yeah, I think the sheriff just wanted to make sure we're still on board. You guys are still on. You folks are still on board.
I'd probably buy that for $3,500. Be a heck of a coyote hunter. All right. Mr. Lytle?
We've had this conversation over the years several times, but in discussion with Gus on Monday, this was outside of the committee meeting, the conversion of these vehicles to make them roadworthy has gone up closer to $13,000 a vehicle, and I think it's probably time that an IT person would be capable of doing this work.
Do you want to talk about that a little more, or?
I think at some point.
The only reason I ask, we have a timed event. I might ask for a motion to. Let's take a break
come
here.
Back to it.
Yeah, let's just recess on law enforcement here for a second while we do a timed event. I'd ask for a motion to close bids for the bridge trusses and decking located in North 35 Paddock, 100 foot east of the intersection of South First and Willow Road, and additional bridge trusses located in the Wymore Yard.
So move.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Haxby to close bidding at 9:18 on the clock. Please vote. 7 in favor. Do we have any bids?
Probably. All right, so bid on the bridge railings in the Wymore Yard. One bid for $150 for the bridge railings in the Wymore Yard.
Who's the bid from?
Terry Jurgens. Who's that guy? And then
get ahead of him.
Yeah, better have him checked out.
We have the Willow Bridge by Dennis Holtz. And he bids $300 for the two bridge trusses and the planking on the bridge at West Willow Road, Odell. That is it for bids.
I would ask for a motion to accept those bids in the amount of $150 for the trusses in the Wymore Yard to Terry Jurgens, and for $300 for the Willow Bridge and planking to Dennis Holes.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Schuler, second by Haxby. Any discussion on transferring this property? If not, please vote. 6 in favor with Juergens abstaining. Motion carries. I think at this time, before we go back to law enforcement, we are going to go on to something really nice here, really pleasant. Mr. Juergens, I might turn it over to you for presentation of a plaque to Mr. Engel for his many, many decades of service to the county.
On behalf of the county board, I would like to present you with this plaque for your years of service to the county.
Thank you.
In saying that, Galen was hired on 2/12 of 1979, I believe, started on the bridge crew, right?
That's correct, yes.
He was interim superintendent on 8/1 of 2011, became the highway superintendent on 11/28 of 2012, has been our highway superintendent for the last 9 years, and served the county for 42 years. With that being said, Galen's not only a good friend of mine, he's been, in my opinion, the best highway and superintendent we've had. So, Galen, appreciate it.
Thank you
very much.
It's been wonderful. Like I say, a lot of people, you hear them complain about different departments. We would call you the craziest stuff, and not only do you know what we were talking about, you just kind of grimmed and bare it and said, I'll take care of it. That was about the end of it. The end we'd hear about it. You did take care of it. But, yeah, thank you very much, Galen. We really appreciate it. Enjoy retirement.
I'm sure there's
going to be some fish that go down.
You bet. So, thank you. It was an interesting 42 years.
Think he would want to stick around and hear the rest of law enforcement?
I had a feeling. He said one of the things he looked forward to the most was not hearing about law enforcement.
Gus only got 400 cars. He got a motor grader.
Yeah, two.
Okay.
Do you want to go back into law enforcement before we have the SIN discussion just to wrap that up quick?
Can do that.
Sheriff, you have time?
Yeah.
I know you're busy.
I've got time for you, Mr. Truman.
Oh.
Here. Right there, buddy.
The ground. What extra funding do you want?
Yeah, right. That's right.
These guys boost on you. Okay.
Now, hold on. He's the one that's been giving it back the last couple of years.
Well, he was sucking up here, so I was just asking.
Won't be that good a year this time.
But you were talking about IT, Gary.
Yeah. So, gosh, I don't remember the first time that Matt and I discussed this several years back about the need for an IT person on staff with the county. What was it? 2 or 3 years ago, we approached this again, and I think we continue to not do it, and I think we need to circle back around and take a look at this again. Yes, it's going to cost money, and yes, it's another person on staff, but just like these vehicles, you know, one, two vehicles at least a year, $13,000 a year that you're paying in fees, and Gus has to run it up there, and then when they have problems, somebody else has to come out and take care of it. You know, we've got units down at the highway department that we put communication in, and somebody else does that also. Services that also. Every one of the offices up here has IT stuff. Don't look at me like that. I know you use MIPS, but an IT person would still be helpful in every office. So I know it's money that it's tough to come up with or whatever, and we talk ourselves out of it every time, but this is... Emily's project that she wants to do in here with sound and everything else. I mean, there's plenty of things that we have that here that we continue to pay outside help for that I really think we need to circle around and look at this again.
I was actually going to bring that up with that, because not only could they help us set it up, but they would also be able to maintenance or troubleshoot it too. And then I think, isn't there a requirement for IT for cybersecurity too?
I'm working with that with the election division, that they were going to require us to have
cyber stuff. So, I mean, if they could do that all around, that would pay for itself very, very fast.
Mr. Jurgens.
Gary, do you feel that there'd be enough work for a full-time person, though?
I do. If you look just to the west of us, Jefferson County's had one for several years,
right,
and now they've hired on a second one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know at the time there was discussion with Jefferson County about maybe working together with a person. But
I talked to Gail Pullman.
Got two, huh?
Yeah. I talked to Gail Pullman earlier this week, and they're still considering that MOU with us to share one. I do think that's a good step in the right direction if we're capable of doing that, but I really think, I mean, we've used over the years, you know, history-wise, we've used Norm down at Norm McConnell at the city. The city's worked with us, and Norm's done a lot for Gus over the years. And I think he's helped out a little bit on the county side too. Or has it just been sheriff just for primarily?
The stuff that Norm does on the sheriff's cars, the city said they won't allow any of our people to do. They'll still require Norm to do that part of it.
But if it touches a new world software, what is there? Yes, that's part of the deal. That's his.
But that's not everything.
That's very minimal.
Yes, exactly.
Very minimal, yeah.
And you're looking for an IT person that's also an installer, not just a tech guy, but also is that going to be easy to find, you think, someone that can take care of IT but also do installation type stuff?
Jefferson County's found two of them. I would think we should be able to find one. Yeah, I don't have the answer to that.
I think you're right, though. I mean,
well, it's
half of that cost on these cars, over half, I'm assuming, is labor. When we upfit them, I guess, with all the stuff.
I mean, the IT guys, you know, in the company that I work for, the IT guys that we have, I don't know what we're up to, three or four, and they're all that same type of guy that is capable of installation, and I mean, they do satellites to printers, copiers, vehicles. I mean, they're doing everything.
You're saying you want this person in and above IT Dave Jones?
I think Dave does.
Yeah, I'm sure Dave does.
Yeah.
Do you want us to start?
Homeland Security was here and talked to me because of the elections, and that is a big push. And so they're looking at certain groups that would be meet the criteria that they want. And then we can also go the whole county route, or we can just do my office. But there has been some proposals from the Secretary of State's office.
They're working with a company that we work with right now, trying to shore up problems, which they're there, you know, and there's holes in any system. So some of our offices they're working on right now. But do you want to start working on a proposal for an advertisement, I guess, to ask for this additional spot or some type of title and job description that we look at start advertising for?
I think that would be a good step. Yes, if this board is willing to take that step, I think it's something, yes, we should look at doing.
I think we're probably there. I don't know if any of us want to or not, but I think it's at that point, especially you bring in cybersecurity, that's something none of us are experts in. Maybe Terry, I know he's pretty technologically advanced. The rest of us aren't, though. I mean, it's just not our forte.
And turns it off.
Maybe Don can talk to some of the clerks and see if there's a job description that we could look at and tweak.
Well, I'd start with Fairbrain.
Yeah, I was going to say start with Fairbrain.
Yeah, whether we want to combine the whole thing or have two different individuals.
We need to put down the requirements of the job responsibilities of the employee. are they going to be doing?
I see no reason to break the county into pieces and have different people.
Well, that's what I mean. So I'm going to be forced to go with a certain, you know, area. So
the election will.
Yes, we.
That's just a small
to have it.
Part of it, though. I mean, you're.
But I mean, as far as requiring me with a certain group, the ones that they approve. For
they're going to give a list of names that we have to use?
Well, they've given me a couple different firms that they are working with that meet the criteria with Homeland Security.
See, first of all, I think Denny's right. Let's decide what we need. We don't just need somebody that can patch in the law enforcement cars. You know, not to depreciate that, but when you look at this, trying to find an IT person, first of all, it's a seller's market for them. You want a good one. And, you know, I use Joe just because I trust him, and I got a lot of sensitive stuff up in my office. So that's going to be a consideration for me, but so does the clerk, so does the treasurer, so does the assessor. That's all sensitive stuff. I think the biggest deal, and that's what I'm interested in, I know Judge Corzlan always harped about we needed somebody that was dedicated to the IT in this county. We were all patching it together and hoping that Joe would, or the MAPS person, and that doesn't always match. And I just know it doesn't. We had an issue down at the assessor's office that we went through and fortunately got that worked out. But, I you know, it's going to be a tough description writing all that.
Sure.
And the second thing, you bid it out. The people that are good at this stuff got to have jobs, and they have good jobs. So I just point that out. We definitely need it because when we start patching this stuff in, we're starting to do more WebEx video conferencing with the courts, which there's no question that's going to be. And I know Davey, God bless him, he's up there doing stuff that, you know, that's difficult. And he was putting some stuff together for the trial, and he's not getting a lot of help with that. I know Joe helps him out when he can, but, you know, we're still behind on getting that stuff done. I know that's what Judge Schreiner was talking about. We need to get that done. But I think the sooner you get started with it, as far as the job description,
and what, the better. What Don's talking about isn't for IT at all. That is for...
Well, it is.
It's for the...
Sort of, but... The security,
the cybersecurity. I was just thinking of that. What they talked about is not IT. It's basically blocking our courthouse off, the firewalls, the cybersecurity. So I don't think that would affect this at all.
That's IT.
It is IT.
Well, it's a type of IT, but they're not going to come down and help with our day-to-day stuff. It would only be for the cybersecurity.
No, they would do that, but they won't install in vehicles. I mean, you know, but they would give you specs or they would help you with your equipment. They would, you know, do all of those things, and I can either do that based on the requirements that I'm having with elections, or we can get them as a county, and they'll do the whole county. I guess that's part of it, but they're not going to install in his vehicle. I mean, you know, they're not going to be the, I don't think, and maybe they would. I don't know. These are bigger companies that I'm seeing. So,
but you're talking about having a firm off-site.
It'd be a firm, but they would be our IT people. They would be a hands-on, so that they can monitor.
I'd like to know the full details on this program and why it is, and what is it because we don't have an IT person on staff yet? If we had an IT person on staff, would we need to be doing this?
The feds came and talked to us. They're working with MIPS right now. I didn't know anything about them doing any of the stuff with their own firms.
No,
he didn't mention
Secretary
that stuff.
Office.
Yeah.
Secretary of State's
office. They didn't say anything to us about that when I met with them, but he did say they were going to be going through and patching holes and trying to find problems.
It's all the counties. They're pushing all the counties right now.
Who pays for that? Are they going to provide any funding for that if they're going to say this is who we have to use or don't know anything yet?
I mean, they're giving us the criteria. They're interviewing. They're giving the criteria that needs to be met. And then they're selecting the firms that meet that criteria and letting us know who those firms are.
That may be a benefit to us because we don't know who these firms are either. They're basically doing some background on the firms for us. It might be a resource to us.
How long has this been going on, Don?
I think
I didn't ever know about that.
A month or so. 2 months ago, the Homeland Security individual came.
Was that when I met with you?
Yeah.
He never said anything about that, though. He was just looking at MIPS and helping them.
No, he was checking with them. But the Secretary of State's office has been contacting me. It's been a while. I mean, it's been a couple months. And then they wanted maybe 3 months, 4 months, and then they wanted me to meet the Homeland Security guy. So I finally had a time where I could meet with him. And so Eric was here, so I had him sit in. But that's the push right now because of all the election security. That's where it's at. So it's going to have to be on the election side, but it could be for the entire county. We can use that person, you know, for the entire county to shore.
Are they going to be 24/7, 365, or they'd be like MIPS?
No,
they would be.
No.
Who's the contact for this push that they're making or whatever?
Well, their IT person at Secretary of State's office.
So it's through the Secretary of State?
It's through the Secretary of State's office. And it's through, I don't know if it's Department of Justice, whatever. It's all coming down the pike.
They told you we're going to be required, though, to go with one of them?
I have to find somebody who meets their criteria. I either go with one of their groups or they have to meet the criteria.
That's what I was going to ask. It could be a candidate for the job that could get approved.
If they meet the criteria.
If we hire.
And they have interviewed with different ones. And I had mentioned Joe, and I think he has set up a meeting with Joe to see whether Joe does the things that they're requiring people to do.
Do they provide training for a person?
If they have,
you know, to get.
I don't know what you mean by who.
Well, to get established or to get approved to meet the criteria.
I'm going to say I'm sure not.
If you have a list of things or a list of criteria that they're supposed to meet, that could just be in the application.
I don't know. I'd have to see if he has. They have that. I haven't seen their criteria.
I mean, I think we could utilize that. Like if they have a list of criteria that they have to meet, put that in the description of the job, and then the other things that we would like to see them do, like the cameras, the installation of that stuff.
He told me that if we have someone that we'd like, and I gave him Joe's name, that they would talk to them and see what their process is and what they do and don't do.
These may be different people, though. This may be firewall stuff, protection stuff, and it may be specific to elections where we still need someone else for the rest of the county. Initially, I'd say use the same for everything, but I guess I didn't know they were limiting you guys on who you could use or telling you what you had to do.
It's not limiting, but it is in one respect because the Homeland Security is requiring certain criteria to do the cyber attacks.
The federal government telling us who to hire.
So
it's limiting who we can hire. But have they given you any mandate where it says, yes, this is what it has to be? So we don't have to yet, but you think this is coming?
That's the information I've received. They want us to have these individuals, but they have to have this criteria or be able to do this type of cyber protection.
So we could hire somebody IT that would be able to meet those criteria?
Possibly, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're saying there's a chance. Right. Well, we'll keep on this. Let's try to get some specs for a potential IT installer type person from some other county. If you hear anything else on this, let us know, and we'll kind of go from there. Because if it's going to be mandated, we don't have any choice on that side anyway. It might incorporate. It might not.
Jefferson's going to have to do the same thing. So,
yeah.
I always say if somebody else has done a lot of legwork,
absolutely.
Start with them.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Better learn from somebody else.
Roden Bridge. Mr. Juergens. Tom and Oliver and Michael are patiently waiting.
Pavers finished Pickerel West. Still needs to be striped. Pavers moved on to Beatrice North. Should be complete at end of the week. And then we'll move to Holmesville Road. No patching on Pickerel West or Beatrice North, so X material. We'll get turned into paving. Just over 500 tons can now be used for corrections on the Holmesville Blacktop. Wayne Limer recalled about State Line Bridge south of Barnston. Basically, we have one more thing to discuss coming up on the agenda.
Anything else for Roden Bridge? You know, it's without John here, we used to, and maybe you're slacking, Donnie, we used to hear about Holmesville and somewhere over in the Holmesville area multiple times every day. So, of course, everything's repaved down there already now.
Yeah, really.
Well, Lloyd.
Well, I do.
Lloyd, you're going to hear about Virginia here shortly. That's that area.
Oh, geez. Okay. Here we go.
Well, I do have a comment about Holmesville. I had a call about the dirt, the fill that will go alongside the shoulder after the road is blacktop or overlaid, and the weed seeds that's in it and what the growth they have. I want to know where the dirt come from. And
That dirt is just peeled away and put right back? Or are you hauling new shouldering in?
We might be hauling some new shouldering, and that will be coming from the Setz quarry. So it's going to come off the...
Would you say Setz is indigenous to that area, being it's only a couple miles away?
Yeah.
Well, then the other part of it was mowing the roadsides because of the sunflowers that come up when it was from Holmesville north.
I'll take that one, though, too, Mark, even before you jump in there. Yes, the property owners do need to mow the roadsides.
I'm just sharing it with you, Benj. You brought up Holmesville.
We can do additional testing to find the content of sand, seed, organics, all that, but it's going to be a rather large cost to do all that.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
That's my fault. Up next, I'd like to introduce Tom Bliss. He's our executive director for Southeast Nebraska Development District. He's brought a couple guests with him. We have been talking about the ARPA funds and how we can distribute them. Part of that is figuring out how do we bid that out, what do we ask for broadband, RFPs, things like that. Send, who Beatrice is now a member of also, Gage has been for years, has some experts on this. So take it away, Tom.
Yeah. Well, thank you. This may or may not be more interesting than the seed content of the dirt side of the road. So hopefully you guys enjoy this. Thanks again. My name is Tom Bliss. I am the director for Southeast Nebraska Development District. Thank you for your membership and your participation in our 16-county region. I think that's really important that Gage County and particular Beatrice and all of your smaller communities are involved in our district. One of the things that, well, we spend a lot of time visiting with your member communities, Wymore, Beatrice, Blue Springs. I was down in Wymore yesterday. We secured a grant for them to pave some streets. One of the things that we hear again and again, the need for housing, workforce development, disaster resiliency, disaster recovery, and then broadband. Broadband is something that comes up again and again. And as a result of that, we were listening and we took action with the guidance of our board of directors to create something called a speed test. And Oliver and Michael are going to go into a little bit more depth on this, but the speed test is pretty unique to this region and the state of Nebraska. There are a lot of other states following in the footprints of what's being done here in our state. And what's being done in our state is actually started in this corner of the state. So SIN was the organization that crafted the RFP, that interviewed the consultants that are doing the work, that signed the contract with them. So what you're seeing across the state started here. So the speed test, which these guys will cover, was an important piece, but at the same time, we needed some folks that really focus on this. This is something that just comes up again and again. It doesn't matter where you're from. I was talking to Trevor over at Engage, talking about where we actually have visited with businesses down in the Blue Springs area that wanted to expand, but they couldn't due to lack of broadband. So as a result of that, we, once again, with the direction of the board of directors, we hired two broadband fellows, and they can go into a little bit more detail on kind of their background. But Michael Dwiggins is based in Lincoln, and Oliver Borchers Williams is based in Auburn. And I'm going to turn the mic over to them. They've got some handouts. Normally we do a PowerPoint presentation, so bear with us on this. Hopefully you'll get the same sense of what we're hoping to accomplish. So, guys, you want to come on up?
I did tell him we do not have a digital projector, so that changed things this morning. And if you two, as you get started, if you could give us your names for the record also.
I'm Michael DeWiggins, and
Oliver Borchers Williams.
And as Tom was saying, we are broadband action team coordinators at SEND. We are working with SEND. We are officially part of Lead for Nebraska. We're working with SEND to expand broadband to the district, the Southeast Nebraska Development District. And primarily what we're doing is creating these broadband action teams so that communities in within the district can come up with plans in order to become more competitive for grants to expand broadband within their communities, counties, towns, etc. So just quickly, a lot of this information is in the presentation and everything, but what we're advocating for is primarily expansion of fiber internet to expand broadband in these communities. There are other internet connections available, but fiber is the most reliable, most scalable. It's generally considered future-proof, which will mean less expenses in the future. And the need for broadband has really been shown, it's really become apparent because of the pandemic. Before, it was considered, everybody was considering it that it would be nice to have, but the pandemic has really shown that it's really the fourth utility. It's no longer nice to have. It's really you need to have it in order to participate in modern society. You're just being able to communicate, doing video conferences, being able to do telemedicine, school from home when you can't go physically. This has all been shown during the pandemic that it's vital. Now, a lot of urban communities, they have these capabilities, but rural especially is in Nebraska is lagging behind, and so that's why broadband expansion is becoming more and more important, because if these rural communities don't get it now with all this money that's available, then they're just going to keep on falling behind. It's going to get harder in the future. And one thing that I'd really like to emphasize before we get into funding and money is that broadband action teams are really kind of essential in order to get in order to be competitive for these grants and this and these funds. Now, we can communities can give plans to SEND and others to apply for these grants, but if communities don't know exactly what they need, if they don't get the general community buy-in, then they're not going to be nearly as competitive as communities that do have buy-in from their stakeholders. It really takes a village, I suppose. You need to get everybody behind it or a majority of people behind it in order to be competitive for these grants. Communities that do manage that will get these grants, and communities that don't are much less likely. Then I will turn it over to Oliver, who will talk more about the funds.
All right, so now's the fun part, I suppose. Just a brief introduction. My name's Oliver. I am a Nebraska City native, and it's good to be back here after leaving the state for college. Working on broadband is a very unique opportunity, especially right now, because as Michael was laying out, COVID-19 really affirmed the need for broadband, especially in rural communities. And it also highlighted some of the disparities that we're seeing between, you know, more highly connected areas and areas that are lagging a bit farther behind. But what's particularly interesting about this point in time is just the sheer amount of additional funding that is available for broadband projects. We have federal money, we have state money, there's even more coming down the pipeline. So that's not really something that you're challenged with in public policy very often. It's less a matter of finding the money now and more about targeting it so you can secure the most of it for the most effective projects. Kind of circling back to about the third slide at the top of the second page there, based on our analysis of the FCC's Form 477 data, so all of the required reporting from ISPs, We've determined that 70% of Gage County is underserved, as defined by the American Rescue Plan, which means wireline connections of less than 25.3. Or I suppose 76% of it is unserved. Underserved, and 70% is unserved. Excuse me, I'm getting those numbers tangled up. So in common speak, that means a lot of the county's eligible for one of the biggest pots of money right now. You can spend it on broadband without jumping through too many additional hoops. But just to give a brief rundown of what those hoops actually are when it comes to ARP, I'm going to talk about three main pots of funding, one of which is a little bit less defined than the other two, but it's worth keeping in mind. So that is the coronavirus state and local fiscal recovery funds, so the ARP money. The second one is the Nebraska Broadband Bridge Program, which was established with LB 388 earlier this year. That's a competitive state grant, renewable for 2 years. The first deadline is coming up, so don't worry too much about this year. Next year, though, that is definitely something to keep in mind. And the third one is the Capital Projects Fund that just went into effect the other day, I suppose. Applications with Treasury are opening up in 2 days. But that sets aside an additional very large pot of money, about $172 million of which is going to Nebraska explicitly for broadband expansion. As it stands now, Treasury has released interim guidance and is opening the application portal. There's not much to do at the county level at this point because the state has to apply for and secure that funding that they've been allocated. But once that happens, it's reasonable to expect that Nebraska is going to be allocating it on a competitive grant basis. So the more you can do to get ready, the better. All right, let's get into ARP a little bit. So ARPA passed earlier this year in March as kind of the successor to the CARES Act. Created two funds that are eligible for use on broadband. The first one being the State Fiscal Recovery Fund, which is administered from Treasury to the state of Nebraska, and then Nebraska has allocated to municipalities on a basis of their operating budgets from fiscal year, one of the most recent fiscal years. I'm not sure exactly which one. That is not necessarily something you guys need to be concerned about, the State Fiscal Recovery Fund, but it is something that can serve as a valuable supplement to county funding if you're working on expanding broadband, not just in the rural parts of the county, but into individual communities. That's something to coordinate with them, and that's something that we at SEND can help facilitate. But the local fiscal recovery fund, on the other hand, that is the money that you guys have been allocated. Gage County is eligible for about, let's see on the next slide there, $4.178 million. The first tranche of that has been allocated, and the second is coming, I believe, in January. So what you can do with that is basically four things. COVID-19 prevention and response efforts, so largely public health. Essential employee compensation, which is, you know, a limited amount of premium pay that you can allocate to essential employees as you designate. The replacement of lost revenue. That one gets a little bit overhyped based off of what I've been hearing, because the actual amount that you're eligible to receive is based off of the differences between your 2019 revenue and your 2021, 22, and 23 revenue compared to a 4% growth forecast off of your 2019 revenue. So that's not by any means a blank check. It's a relatively limited, about 25% at max, based off of, you know, some comparisons I've been doing. I will obviously defer to you guys and your knowledge of your own budget to determine that. But just to raise a little bit of an exclamation point on that, it's not a huge sum of money, the replacement of lost revenue part. But the last one's why I'm here today, and that is water, sewer, and broadband infrastructure. Water and sewer both have to follow EPA guidelines. There's a whole bunch of hoops you have to go through to use ARP money to fund those projects. But broadband is surprisingly quite flexible in terms of how you determine where you allocate your funding and to which projects. We'll get into more detail on that in a little bit. Brief overview of the Nebraska Broadband Bridge Program, though. That was created by LB 388. It creates a $40 million grant program, $20 million each year. The deadline is coming up on October 1st, and ISPs, so individual internet companies, public-private partnerships between ISPs and communities or counties, as well as municipalities, are eligible to apply to the Nebraska Public Service Commission for that money. That's coming up on October 1st. It's kind of a lengthy application. So if you guys don't have things, you know, about ready to pull out of the oven on that, then just punt it to next year, which similar time frame, same pot of money, $20 million available for broadband. The trick is these two pots of money have different eligibility standards. So ARP sets out one definition of unserved or underserved. It collapses the two into areas without access to reliable wireline broadband at 25 megs and 25 megs down, 3 megs up. So essentially what that means is you can rule out areas that are covered by satellite, you can rule out areas that are covered by fixed wireless. That leaves a whole lot of the county open to this funding. A little bit later on, I'll show you a map of areas that would be immediately eligible. It's a lot of the county. LB 388 and the Nebraska Broadband Bridge, on the other hand, set out a two-tier system, the first being unserved, which they don't have the same wireline and reliability stipulations as the ARP money does, but it does create a second tier at underserved, which is below 100 megs down and 20 megs up. That's a good portion of the county. But again, it's just ever so slightly different, so you may need some supplementary information if you want to combine those two funding sources. On the next slide, like I said, you see Gage getting about $4.178 million from ARP. That's good for you guys because it's, you know, about $820,000 below the threshold that would make you have to file quarterly reports with Treasury. So you only have to do yearly expense reports. That's significantly less regulatory burden and reporting requirements than you had with CARES. And it's even better for you guys because you are receiving below that $5 million threshold. Kind of a brief diversion into some case studies, which is kind of a really refreshing sentence, I'm sure. Two case studies on using these ARP monies for private infrastructure when it comes to ISPs creating it. As you guys, I'm sure, are aware, Nebraska has some very restrictive state law when it comes to municipalities or public entities creating, deploying, and servicing broadband infrastructure. So most of the ARP money would have to be funneled through a public-private partnership with an ISP, a cooperative, or just straight to private. Two cases of the latter, and I suppose the first one, a public-private partnership in some form or the other. Cambria County in Pennsylvania used ARP money to award about $1.1 million to a fixed wireless provider. They deployed 9 fixed wireless towers with a 10-mile radius in rural Cambria County and, you know, covered thousands of households using this ARP money. That was a case where a county county put out an RFP for a fixed wireless providing or a fixed wireless service, which would be funded with ARP money. Then they combined it with CARES funding because the deadlines were such that they had just a bit of overlap and they could combine the two to fund that project. And they allocated it to a private ISP. So you can do it. There's been concerns that we've heard about using county money on private projects. It is possible. There are cases of it. It's just a matter of checking the right boxes along the way. The other one is Arkansas, which is kind of the same thing scaled up. I know Windstream is a bit of a bad word around here. Not great service. Don't tell them I said that. But it is native to Arkansas, so they have a little bit more skin in the game down there, which is why they put up about $17 million of their own money and combined it with $46 million of state art money to build fiber to the home across, yes, seven rural counties in Arkansas and 15,000 households and businesses. So again, there are clear precedents set by other counties and other states when it comes to using art money in conjunction with private ISPs. So there isn't a huge worry when it comes to actually being able to do that and be in compliance with Treasury. Quick overview of deadlines and timeframes. The first expenditure report for ARP is due on October 31st. That covers things that you use ARP money on between, I think it was when it was allocated, whenever you guys received your first tranche, September 30th. So, you know, when it comes to broadband, that's not really something you need to worry about unless you guys have already spent money on it. Everything has to be expended or obligated by December 31st, 2024. Otherwise, the money just disappears. It goes back up to Washington, and you never see it again. So if you want broadband...
We have to make application by October 1st?
That is for the Nebraska Broadband Bridge Program. That's a separate pot of funding. ARP, you don't have to apply for it. It's already allocated from Treasury.
We already have that money, Denny. He's talking about the LB 388 money, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, that one... deadline's October 1st, like I said, so don't worry about it. Next year, they'll be opening up a separate second round of applications.
With that program, the two deadlines, is it if you apply for one, you don't get to apply for the other, or you can apply for both?
Well, these two are nested, essentially. So ARP is coming down from the federal government via Treasury to the county. That's eligible to be spent, like I was saying, back on the previous page underneath Why Now, COVID-19 prevention, employee compensation, lost revenue, and then water sewer broadband.
But the...
The broadband bridge program, you can combine it. You can put up a match from the county using your ARP money to supplement a private ISP's own capital in the grant application. You can use that to get to 50% of the project costs, and then they will match the rest of it up to $5 million. So that is administered by the state exclusively for broadband. You can use ARP money to supplement the application or to match the private capital in that application if you hash out a public-private partnership with an ISP that wants to build out broadband in Gage County.
But what I'm saying, what I'm asking is if we apply, like if the October 1st application and you got it, is it something you can do twice or is it once and that's it? That's my question.
Applying for the LB 388?
Yeah, there's two deadlines. He said there's two rounds. So if you get the first round, are you not eligible for the second round? Or would you be eligible to apply in both rounds?
Okay, rewinding a little bit. So LB 388 created that $20 million two-year grant program.
Yes.
That can be tapped by ISPs. So internet service providers,
okay,
or cooperatives, or public-private partnerships combining an ISP with a public entity. There's different models for that, but the application for that is fairly extensive. You need to have a pretty clear plan set out in terms of where you're going to build broadband infrastructure, what houses you're going to hit. So when it comes to putting something together for this round of funding, unless you guys have nailed down an ISP that has a definite area they want to serve and you signed an MOU with them, there's nothing really to worry about for this round of funding. It's really just a second source of additional capital for broadband infrastructure, not exclusively tied to counties. That's more directed to ISPs.
Answer this a little bit better, Diode and Windstream have been working on LB 388 grants the last couple months already.
But when I met Diode, they had a plan for a project already.
That was the one they were submitting for an LB 388.
They did submit it?
I don't think they ended up submitting it. I don't know. They were looking at different ways, but
they were thinking they might have to wait until the next, see you, Mark, they might have to wait till next round. There were some different rules that they were looking into, but our local ISPs are looking at this money and how they can go about it. And as we move forward more, they'll, I've asked Diode to talk to these two and send, and I know you guys already have an appointment set up with them if you haven't already met, but they'll be going over this more also.
But the reason I included in this is because you can make applications punch a little bit harder if you use county money to supplement private capital in that broadband bridge application. But that's not necessarily something that the county would be handling. It's more the ISP's purview. I suppose just briefly wrapping things up with, you know, what we are offering you guys. So like Tom was mentioning, we're conducting the statewide speed test. You can see a map of all the dots we have so far. Gage County is at the 10% statistical significance threshold. So it's useful information that you guys have generated, and that can be really valuable in terms of opening up some new areas for funding. If the FCC thinks something is served, data shows otherwise, we're able to contest that and make it eligible for funding. We also, you know, chew through some of the 477 data for you. It's a huge data set, like a million rows in the spreadsheet. So the less digging you guys have to do, I suppose, the better for you. The next three pages show, you know, some maps of that data. This is displaying wireline broadband in both Send and Gage County specifically. So that is, like I mentioned earlier, excluding fixed wireless and excluding satellite. The candy cane is areas that are immediately eligible for ARP money or broadband bridge program money. No extra hoops to prove that they're eligible. Just go to the FCC, point at the line that says it doesn't have wireline. You also see the fiber map below the Send district map. Light blue is public fiber, dark blue is private. Just to kind of give you an idea of, you know, what kind of arteries are there to build larger fiber networks. And the last thing that's probably the most useful that we're able to offer you guys is a through the back end of our speed test with the GEO partners that we contracted with, we're able to actually price out fiber and fixed wireless projects. As you see there, I highlighted an area, you know, that shows like a hypothetical fiber network. So within that hashed little polygon kind of in the shape of Utah, we would be building fiber to the home, hypothetically. We're able to price that out and get all the information to help you guys understand how to approach ISPs when they come with bids or when they come with proposals. We can kind of cross-reference that and see if it's in line with what it should be. But just to kind of sum up with some brief discussion of RFPs, I know you guys are somewhat interested in spending ARP money on broadband, and I would urge you, but by no means have any authority to do so, really, but my guidance would be to pump the brakes on an RFP a little bit. It's important that you are taking the appropriate time and doing the due diligence to identify underserved and unserved areas that would be eligible for that funding. And it's also important, as Michael was mentioning, with broadband action teams to form grassroots organizational associations, nothing too formal, but just essentially understanding what the residents of Gage County, what businesses want, what prospective businesses want, to help you really optimize your applications, as well as to help you optimize what specific terms you would put in an RFP to create fiber or whatever type of network in some part of the county. So that's everything in short. Just pump the brakes, gather the data, make sure you understand where the needs are and what the needs are, and then you're able to create your RFPs. There's no real rush with ARP money. You have 3 years to obligate the funds, so just make sure you check all of your boxes before you start putting out RFPs. That's about all I have for you guys today.
I have a question for you.
Go for it.
All right. So since we're part of SEND, this is something you help us with, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. When I looked at the ARPA choices or funding, broadband stuck out to me because I think that we need it here in our county, especially in the rural areas. But my biggest problem is trying to find which companies to talk to, because fiber has to come from somewhere. You can't just start it somewhere and go. It has to be the line continuance of that fiber line. I have no idea what companies have buried lines where. So, and like Diode is good in the southwest corner of our county. That would be the company to talk to. But like, what about the northwest or the northeast, or who has lines already buried?
Could you explain the districts the way the media districts, I guess, for lack of a better way, the way they're set
exchange
up?
Exchange areas. Yeah. So the FCC and other telecommunications regulations kind of create these areas where certain ISPs or in general telecommunications, their exchange carriers, where they kind of have the pole position. So down there in the southwest portion of the county, that big blob of green, that is within Diode's exchange boundary. So they're the incumbent there. They're able to build out the fiber. They have first pick of, what the main infrastructure is used for. In the rest of the county, though, it is Windstream's exchange boundary. So there's a few more hoops to jump through in terms of using existing fiber infrastructure if it's operated by Windstream. Otherwise, it becomes a lot more costly with including backhauls from other fiber networks, like out of Diode's area, and then building fiber networks from that. So that's just something to keep in mind. It would add additional cost or additional time if it's outside of a given ISP's exchange area or outside of where an ISP has fiber buried. You can kind of see, I'll prepare a more useful map for Gage County and forward it on to you guys. But yes, a page in from the end below the district-wide map, you see a fiber map. I kind of briefly touched on that, but there is some consumer fiber available in Beatrice, as well as a few census blocks in the northern part of the county. You may be able to expand from that depending on which ISP owns it. It could be a fairly easy process. So we're able to prepare the data on where the FCC knows that telecommunications fiber is buried or laid, and we're able to use that to help you guys understand what additional steps would need to be taken depending on what ISP provides a bid. Does that make sense?
Mostly.
Okay.
I got more questions, but they're more in depth on trying to find providers and how we can make that plan.
Okay. But general guidance on that, local ISPs, the data shows that local ISPs provide better coverage and customers are more happy. Obviously, there's substantial room for variance within that, but the more skin in the game a provider has, likely the better coverage is going to be, and the more likely the project will be to be completed.
Mr. Shuler?
Is your contact information in here?
My email address is on the first slide below my name. Same with Michael.
Okay.
Feel free to email us at any time about whatever broadband related.
Are you aware of the fiber optics that run along what was originally the Union Pacific Railroad? It's now a bicycle trail. It was MCI when it originally went in. Is that?
That would probably be the private fiber. I know Network Nebraska, so the NITC's program to connect like schools and hospitals and stuff like that uses a lot of that private fiber. There's a lot of work that needs to be done to be able to use that for a fiber to the premises project to bring it residential or consumer. But it is there. It's just a matter of making sure everything is aligned to be able to use it.
Okay. Yeah, it went in years ago.
Yeah.
So you can help us identify where the need is. Once we identify that, the next step would be an RFP then? Establishing what we want for
service? My suggestions would be identifying where, identifying what, and then identifying who with the bids. But generally, just top-level suggestions when it comes to ARP is it gives a preference for fiber. It urges you to spend money on fiber. And that's fiber to the home. That's fiber to the premises, so directly into the house.
So can we ask you to help us start looking at where, and then we'll figure out what we need? You can kind of advise us on that, and then we put out the bid, and you can help us review that. I mean, I'm asking, how involved will you guys get with this? I mean, SEND administers a lot of different programs. This is brand new for SEND, having the broadband end of it. I mean, and maybe this is a Tom question. Are you guys willing to step in and help us administer this money, make sure we're getting our reports in, things like that as well?
I can't really speak to that, but I can say that we...
Come up to the mic.
Oh, yeah. Tom, will you come up to the mic, please?
Yeah, Eric, I can't really speak to that. I can say that we will help position you in whatever way we can. You have some great data there. That shows, you know, what kind of information you have now. We'd have to talk about that because I'm really not sure what the reporting requirements would be. And right now we're kind of understaffed. So,
because we would hand that to the clerk otherwise. So you can do the reporting on it?
Yeah.
Okay, so that part we'd be okay. I guess figuring out what we need, that'd be something we just ask some people. Once again, this isn't any of our forte. But then once we know what we want, our big thing was how do we present this intelligently to bid it out so that we get good responses, and then we would need help reviewing that, because if this is yellow iron or road,